Hello, and welcome to an episode of Drinking the Kool-Aid, a comedy podcast dedicated to the mysterious. My name is Cassidy.
My name is Amanda.
And we are coming to you live from a hurricane.
It's barely a hurricane.
It's a tropical storm at this point.
Is it? It's not even raining.
I think it's a tropical storm, yeah.
Oh.
Well, it's been raining on and off for the last 24
hours?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I abbreviate things these days.
I know. I was like 24. What? What are we talking here?
Minutes, hours,
days,
lifetimes.
Yeah.
I couldn't even tell you. It's none of my business. I'm not a meteorologist.
I would love for everyone to see what Cassidy looks like right now.
It's very hot and it's very humid. The humidity has given me sort of a Bozo the Clown style hairdo. It keeps getting bigger.
It's so
every time I think it can't get bigger, it does. It's also, my hair has been wet for a whole day. I don't know, like, nobody else's hair is wet. Why is mine just wet? It won't dry. I tried everything. Tried towel drying it. I tried air drying it. I tried hair blowing it. Nothing
worked. Isn't
that
the same thing as hair drying?
I said air dry.
Oh.
But it's just still wet for some reason. And I've decided that the only way to do it is just to clip it into a giant mound on top of my head that has sent Amanda into a spiral of laughter.
It's very...
If you can imagine, like, Sideshow Bob meets Christy Brinkley.
Meets a bird's nest.
It's bad. I said Christy Brinkley just because I don't want you guys to think so low of me.
I was going to go just Bozo the Clown and Bird's Nest into one.
You're not, and you wouldn't be wrong.
No. I'm so sorry. I'll stop laughing at
no,
you.
No, it's fine. I didn't do it to myself. It's just bad genetics.
Yeah.
But you have just barely any hair at all.
Go fuck yourself.
You just spent the last 3.5 minutes, I'm looking at the timestamp, laughing at my Bozo the Clown hair, and I make one little quip.
You're making a joke about the fact that I'm going to be bald in 10 years, okay? That is hurtful. At least you have hair. You can dry it somehow.
One day it will dry. We just don't know when. I need you guys to know I have not showered in 3 days. So it's not even like, oh, it's taking a long time to dry post shed. No, I've had wet hair for going on 72 plus hours.
I'm just going to shave my head.
Go for it. Okay. Wear a wig. Become a wig girly.
I love wigs.
I know you do. That's why you should just lean into being bald.
I should, huh?
Yeah, I feel like you could get away with the bald thing.
I don't think I could.
You don't think so?
No, I don't have the head shape for it.
Like your actual head or your face?
All of that combined.
Okay, well.
Like, you know how those people that...
Oh, I know some hot baldies.
Right, that's
it's
what I'm saying.
Very unfair.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I don't think I would be a hot baldie. I would love to be.
I mean, you got your hair pulled back pretty tight right now.
Egghead.
It looks fine.
You don't think I'm an egghead?
I mean, you look a little bald, but that's what happens
a little
when you...
eggy.
Well, eggs are bald. I don't know what to tell you. Eggs are probably one of the most bald...
What?
I was going to say call them fruits.
I know you were.
Foods you could eat. That's a very bald food.
Isn't it weird that an egg is a food, but you can't eat it unless you crack it and cook it?
You can eat eggshells. They're actually very full of calcium. You could also eat raw eggs.
I'm not Gaston from Beauty and the Beast.
Okay, well, you're also not Rocky. They both have big, full heads of hair.
You know
sorry,
what?
Okay,
I'm
sorry.
Done. I'm
sorry.
Done. I am leaving. I quit the pod. I don't care anymore.
Remember,
what episode are we on? 124?
124.
I'm done.
You were like, 1, 2, 3 is my end.
1, 2, 4, out the door.
Oh, that's good. Oh, we might be using that. So you can't leave. You're going to want the royalties on that one.
Damn, you're right.
You're like, God, I got to stop being so smart.
God, I am the genius of the pod. Did we just establish that? Your bows of the clown hair made you stupid.
New genius of the pod unlocked.
I'm the queen.
It's you.
It's me.
Oh my God, this is just in time.
Yeah.
Because I heard they're looking for a new queen somewhere.
Should I
apply? You should apply.
You know, God rest her soul. But can I send my application in?
I think that you should apply.
Yeah.
I think they wear wigs a lot there in England too, actually.
This will be great for me.
Yeah, I think this is actually right up your alley.
Okay, perfect.
My problem is, like, so I heard that hair ties damage your hair.
Yeah, apparently.
And I have, my hair is already ridiculous. The texture of it, just everything about it. Is bad. And like, you know when people are like, oh, you just...
Only right now, I'm gonna be honest.
No, they're just like, oh, you gotta find the right thing. And it's like, yeah, there's like a thing for every type of hair. You know what I mean? There's not a thing for like if your hair type is just bad. Like my hair type is the combination of all of the things you don't want. And it doesn't matter what hair products I use. I've tried everything. I've moisturized. I've done no heat. I've used curly products. I've used straightening products. I've used keratin. I've used, you know, cleansing. I've done everything.
I think you have pretty hair.
Thank you.
Most of the time.
I appreciate that.
Not right now.
But so my new thing is I use these clips.
Yeah.
They're so small.
Because your hair is too big.
So it's really hard to get all of it in there. And so I have to do it at weird angles.
Why don't you put two clips in at once?
I guess I could. They did send me 8 clips.
Well, there you could put all 8 in.
You're right. I think I might have just been using them wrong. But they're supposed to be better than using...
But why do you think one side of your head is the hair's falling out and one side is up? Because the clip is not enough.
Oh my God, I didn't even realize that was happening.
Were you wondering why I was laughing at you for the last 3 minutes?
I just always assume I probably look stupid. Because I do usually.
Your hair is so big right now.
It's just been growing.
Cassidy just took it out of the clip, and I was like...
So they don't understand, because anytime they see, like, pictures of videos of me, it's when I've styled my hair.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that means I've put, like, a lot of heat and a lot of oil and a lot of products. Like, none of these people who listen to the podcast have seen my natural hair.
Right.
Probably ever, right?
Well, if you've ever gone to Vegas and saw Carrot Top Live, it's very much like
that. It's pretty much exactly that, actually. You're not wrong. I want to be mad at that, but you're right. I don't know what to tell you.
I just, you know what? I need to humble you a little.
I think it's good. I think I should be humbled.
I think so.
I am wearing my new favorite t-shirt, though.
You are?
I think it looks nice.
Do the people know what it says?
I feel like we might have talked about it on another episode.
We haven't been criticized by a U.S. president since JFK shirt. And then it says, Central Intelligence Agency.
It's a good shirt.
It's a great shirt. You're not wearing a bra.
I am. That's Are the sad you? Part. Damn. I'm getting fucking humbled left and right, brother.
I'm sorry. I'm going to be nice.
This is the worst day of my life.
I'm going to be nice starting right now.
After Todd gave us wine?
Oh,
And you're going to treat him like this?
How am I treating Todd? I'm treating you like
I'm
this.
I'm an extension of Todd.
Are you?
Todd, the pod dad.
Todd is the pod dad.
We love Todd. We love Molly. Hi, guys.
Hi, guys. Thanks for listening.
Todd, this wine is actually very good.
It's very good.
And it's very refreshing.
It's strong.
It's strong.
I think that's why I'm being mean.
Oh, because you're a little...
I'm a little tips.
Drunky tunky.
Yeah.
Punks a tunky Phil.
Punks a tunky.
Panda. Punks a... God damn it. No.
Punks a tawny Phil.
Sure.
Yep.
Yeah. Feels right.
One of our listeners actually DM'd me that they were from...
Punxsutawney.
That place. A new Phil.
They met?
I don't know if they met him. Like they just knew who he was.
Okay. Like knew. Are we talking like knew him? Like they like go out to drinks every once in a while?
He's a groundhog. And he's dead now. Okay. So how do you...
First of all.
How does that make you feel?
Why is a groundhog not allowed to go out for a cheeky drink?
Do they live to be 21?
I don't know, Amanda.
Do they have
stupid.
An ID? Do they go to the DMV?
They're a local celebrity. People were letting Justin Bieber drink when he was underage. Why not Punxsutawney Phil?
You're right. It's not fair. It's an injustice to groundhogs all over the world.
I'm going to start a petition.
I would rather have a groundhog in a bar than Justin Bieber.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd rather have a groundhog in the bar than most people.
Me
honestly.
Too.
Maybe even me.
Fill the bar with groundhogs.
That's how we stop drinking in America.
No, I would go.
Groundhogs only. No, people aren't allowed
I can't
anymore.
Go?
No, sorry. Just for them.
Can I work there?
Are you a groundhog? We need a groundhog
bartender. The groundhogs
bartender.
Are the bartenders?
Maybe.
This does not seem fair. How do I get enjoyment out of this?
You don't. It's for the groundhogs.
Oh my God.
I don't know what you thought was going to happen here.
I thought it was going to be like an owl cafe in Japan. Well, like, I get to go and I get to enjoy the groundhogs.
Can you speak groundhoggese? That was pretty convincing. I'm not going to lie. All right. You're hired. Sold. Oh, man. Have I ever told you about how I used to pretend to speak other languages, places?
No, but I'm not surprised.
So a fun little lie that I used to tell when I would go out where I was like pretty sure I wouldn't see these people again is I would pretend to speak other languages.
Do you know any other languages?
I know a little Swedish. I know a little Spanish.
You know Swedish?
Yeah. I can speak sign language.
Can you give me a little, like a little thing?
No.
In Swedish?
No, I'm not very good at all. No, I'm really bad at it. I, like, only know how to say, like, fish and, like, where's the bathroom and stuff.
Then why did you just tell me you speak a little Swedish?
Because okay.
Are you lying to me?
By speak a little, I just mean, like, if I went to Sweden and I needed to know, like, how to get a drink or how to get some fish.
Can you tell me?
Or go to the bathroom, I could do it.
Say it.
No, I will not do it because we have a lot of Swedish listeners and they will be mad at me.
Anyway. Kleiner Weisser Schneemann.
Oh, I forgot about your white snowman.
It's my one sentence I can say in German.
So, this is like a favorite of mine. I would pretend to speak Russian. I would pretend to speak Swedish.
But you don't know
Russian.
Yeah,
I would pretend to speak Portuguese. I don't know any of these languages, but I would pretend like I was fluently speaking them, like I was some sort of sim when I was at bars to
so
trick
just
people.
Like...
Yeah, I would just make because like I know what these languages sound like, and so I would just make shit up because I thought it was funny. And one time I was out at a bar with Lisa, actually. Hey, Lisa. And I was pretending like I could speak Swedish to everyone at the bar, and two Swedish people walked up to me and started talking to me, bitch. And everyone was like, oh my God, you speak Swedish? You should talk to her. And I was like, what are the chances, first of all? Second
Honestly,
of all,
thank God that happened to you.
Why?
Because you need to be put in your place.
That's so mean.
Sorry, I told you. I was a little tips. I'm a little mean.
You're a little tips whips over there.
I'm a little mean.
Yeah, and then they were so nice that they didn't tell anyone that I was faking.
Oh, they knew.
And they pretended like they were talking to me, and then afterwards they were like, that was pretty funny.
Wow.
Isn't that good?
I need an example.
I can't do it right now. It's too embarrassing.
Wow. I can't believe
I have
doing
to be like to I have to be like really intoxicated and like in a place where I'm like I could take over the world, you know, like that. Well, you know, like when you drink a certain amount and you're like flying high.
Oh yeah.
Like, I could do anything.
I'm like I'm literally the hottest girl that's ever
Yeah,
existed.
you're like if I met George Clooney right now, he would leave his wife
yeah,
for me.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Yeah, it's like you have to be in like that mind state.
I'm like, oh, even though I'm way over 25, Leonardo would still give me a chance.
Mm-hmm.
That's how hot I feel when I'm drunk.
So, like, the way that you feel about men, that's, like, how I feel about being able to speak foreign languages.
Wow. There's two types of women.
Yeah. And that's why you're married.
Yeah.
And I'm not.
Super married. Still feel real hot when I'm drunk.
You know what I was thinking about this week?
What?
Like, people who have listened to us from episode one, which is, like, quite a few.
There's a bunch.
Yeah, or, like, people who, like, start at the beginning or whatever.
We have so many people that are working backwards. And I'm like, how do you ever hear the new episodes if you're working backwards?
Well, to me, I'm like, how different are we?
So different, probably.
I want to know. Like, I know.
Listen to the first episode.
Well, like, I'm too. No, I can't.
I can't do it either.
I can't. Like, I know how you're different. Because I've edited all the episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really hard to, like, look on yourself. So, like, for me, it's really hard to tell what I've changed.
Mm.
Like, for me, I can look at you and go, you're so much more confident.
Mm-hmm.
You're funnier.
Thank you.
You are so much more yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all these things where I'm like, oh, that's so great. And I just feel like I've gotten, like, meaner, dumber, ruder.
Definitely dumber.
Yeah.
For sure.
meaner, dumber, ruder. I cuss more.
I feel like we cursed a lot in the beginning.
Well, you used to say frickin'.
I know.
You were the frickin' girl.
Frickin', frackin', frugin.
Yeah.
Frugenlugen.
Frugenlugen. That yeah. sounds German. See?
That would have been good. I'm trying.
That would have been good fake German.
I know.
But yeah, I think about that all the time.
Let us know.
Let us know how much worse we are. Drop it in the comments.
I remember, like, a couple months ago, attempting to listen to episode one. Holy fuck.
Well, we also used to get, like, blackout drunk every episode. Yeah.
Also, my fan in my living room is going, and so you can just hear the fan the whole episode.
Do you want to know? Actually, someone told me that. They were like, oh, yeah, your first, like, 20 episodes, you can just hear every background noise ever.
Well, because it was in my apartment where it was super loud.
Yeah, and now we're in the pod closet.
Yeah.
It's way quieter.
Listen, you guys, we are a fully...
Operational,
self-funded podcast. It's just the two of us doing this.
Indie. We're indie.
Indie.
We're indie.
The first 20 episodes, you think that we figured anything out? No.
No.
Cut us some slack.
I've literally never worked in sound ever in my entire life.
I
self-taught how to edit and produce this whole show.
You think we realized, oh, shit. We're in Amanda's living room where her neighbors are screaming outside the door for an hour. Maybe we should do this somewhere else. Do you think we figured that out by then? No.
I figured it out when I became single because I was like, this is embarrassing.
Well, sorry.
That's another thing.
It had to be done.
You like think about like our progression like as people. Like, well, your life's basically the same. And you got a 2-bedroom, I guess.
I do now.
My life is so different than when we first started the podcast.
You have... gone through ups
and
downs.
I went through breakups and ups and downs and all sorts of stuff.
I just had two cats die.
Your cats died.
That was it. You went through like the most life changes.
Yeah. Now look at me. I changed my entire career.
You did.
Holy shit.
Holy shit.
That's crazy.
Thank God for this pod closet, man.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Well, now I just get made fun of because I don't think anyone's attractive.
You really don't. Not even good-looking people.
So I never realized...
Mostly good-looking people you don't find attractive, actually.
I didn't realize how bad it was until, like, four other people brought... Like, you always make fun of me for it. Like, four other people brought it up to me. And then I tried to make it better, and I was like, I don't know, I think, like, Kurt Russell and Tombstone's attractive. And everyone was like, "What? How is that helpful? What does this mean?
Right.
You mean someone who was attractive years ago? Decades ago? And then...
Okay, Harrison Ford.
Love him.
Okay, good.
Even now.
Okay, good. At least we have one.
Sandra Oh.
Yeah. Oh, Christy. You're going to tell me that people don't think Christina Yang is they so don't. Hot?
And I think...
I would die for Christina Yang.
I think it's fucking... I mean, I know it's fucking racism.
How could they not think she's hot?
She is the prettiest person I've ever...
I love her more than life itself.
Have you watched Killing Eve?
I haven't, and I should, because your doppelganger's in
My doppelganger's in it, making out with Christina Yang.
They make out?
Yeah, girl.
Oh, my God.
There's so much lesbian tension between the
two
of them.
So you can literally put yourself in your doppelganger's shoes. Wow.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah. Love
Me her. And my husband. My husband, like, I remember I was when I started rewatching Grey's a couple months ago, I was like, dude, Christina Yang is just the hottest thing I've ever seen. And he said, oh, yeah, she's got a thing. Like, he agreed with me.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, I feel like Christina Yang is for the girls.
No, he agreed wholeheartedly. He said, oh, I would fuck Christina Yang. Are you kidding?
Good for him.
Yeah. I don't
so
understand
hot.
Who wouldn't. It makes
everyone I bring it up to.
That's insane to me.
I know.
I will literally murder all of these people right now, and I'll say it on the record. I will murder you. Okay, can I just throw out some names, and then you just tell me?
Yeah, spit them right at
me. Okay, Zac Efron.
Yeah, he's fine.
Okay.
I don't think he's ugly. I don't think these people are ugly.
Okay. Ryan Gosling.
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay, we like that. Emma Stone.
No.
Okay. Jennifer Lawrence.
Used to be no, now it's a yes.
May I ask why?
I don't know, but I recently saw an interview with her in Variety, I think it was.
Okay.
And she was looking good.
Oh, I used to say no as well, and I've changed my mind on her.
Yeah, so I don't know if my taste changed or if also there was like a lot of backlash against her of like the like, oh, she's annoying, did a misogynist bullshit. And I don't know if I was brainwashed by that.
Probably.
But I recently saw an interview with and photo shoot with her and I was like, that is one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen.
Okay.
Like her face is so gentle and soft and beautiful.
Okay. Wow.
Okay. Keep him coming.
My personal favorite, Michael B. Jordan. Don't do this to me.
I don't think he's ugly. He's the sexiest man alive. He's too
buff,
ripped. I don't like
perfect smile.
I don't like buff. He has a great smile. He's too pretty for me.
He's beautiful, stunning.
He's too pretty for me. I can look at him like a piece of art, and be like, "That's a beautiful man."
Right, but you don't want to rip his clothes off.
No, but I'm not attracted to him. That's what we're asking, right? Like attracted to.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Well, because I know you feel the same way about Ryan Reynolds.
No, I actually. I don't get Ryan Reynolds at all. I don't. Or Blake Lively. I don't get either of them.
I'm speechless.
I'm happy they found each other and that they're in love. They're just not my thing. Like, I don't have any hate against these people for the record.
I'm not mad.
They're just not for me.
I'm not mad.
You seem mad.
Not mad.
All right, throw some more at me.
Chris Pine.
Used to be a no, now it's a yes.
I knew you were going to say
that. Love his new hair.
I knew it, because I don't love his new hair.
Love his new hair. I think I love that he's in his villain era. I support him.
I mean, he's still sexy. I don't love his new hair, but he is still sexy.
Give me more girls.
Girls, okay. Well, we already know how you feel about Kristen Stewart, so.
Love her.
Don't even need to say that one. Oh, my God. Okay, I'm trying to think of females. Hilary Duff.
Pretty, but like in a way where if I was hooking her up with like a friend of mine, I'd be like, she's so hot, but I don't want her. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
One of my personal favorites. There's Carrie Russell. Carrie Russell is Felicity.
She was in Waitress. Once again.
God damn it. Where's my phone? Okay, well, there's Carrie Russell and then there's Carrie Washington. Both personal favorites.
Oh, Carrie Washington's beautiful.
Yeah. Both personal favorites of mine.
Carrie Washington, to me, I think she's very, very pretty because she looks like she'd be mean to me in a way that I would like.
Oh, she seems so nice.
Have you seen the show that she's on?
Which one?
Veep?
No. I'm just throwing out president shows.
She is so... God, Carrie Washington is so pretty.
Literally stunning.
She's 45?
Yeah, dude, she's old as hell. Sorry, that's not old. I don't know
that's
why I'm
saying
that.
That's not that old. She's beautiful. Oh, she's in Scandal.
Scandal. Why is I saying Veep?
That's totally.
That is not even.
Veep is Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Yeah. Also beautiful.
Also beautiful.
Fucking gorgeous.
Yeah, you're right.
And she's one of those ones, just like Kerry Washington, aging like a fine wine.
She is. Yeah. I agree with you. Yeah.
Like, the older she gets, I'm like, damn, you're only getting hotter.
Also, Reese Witherspoon.
Once again.
Christina Applegate.
Not my type.
Oh, my God. Okay, so we got Kristen Stewart, we got Sandra Oh, and we got Kerry Washington.
Kerry Washington, yeah.
All right, that's your type.
We had another one, didn't we? Chris Pine now.
Chris Pine. Oh, I thought we were talking about women.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I thought there was another. Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Oh, okay.
I literally love her. I would do anything for her.
Wow. Good.
Well, I'm glad we got that out of our system. maybe we should just welcome our new patrons.
Good idea.
Before we get in too deep on whatever the fuck we're talking about. All right, so it is time to welcome our new cool kids.
Whoop, whoop.
So first of all, we have Jenna.
Hi, Jenna.
Hello, Jenna. You have a great last name.
Yes, yes.
I know I can't say it, but I want to.
I saw it.
Welcome to Melissa.
Hi, Melissa.
Melissa, you joined so you can see that sweet, sweet video content.
Ooh, love that.
Welcome to Sammy.
Hi, Sammy.
Has Sammy joined before?
I don't believe so. We have a lot of Sammys.
We have a lot of Sammy.
I think this is a new Sammy.
I think it's you. You attract Sams and Sammys.
I must.
I think you do.
Bring it on.
Bring it on.
The more Sams, the better.
She's collecting them. It's like the Infinity Stones over here.
Ooh, a Marvel reference.
You're welcome.
Who are you?
Welcome to Celeste.
Hi, Celeste.
Another good last name.
So many good last names.
Ugh. And then we have a welcome to one of my favorite names, Lexi.
Is that one of your favorite names? Is it just because... Lexi is a Grey's Anatomy character.
That, and also, and this is going to sound stupid, Sexy Lexi. There's something very sexy about the name Lexi.
Oh, all right, Sexy Lexi.
Right?
Yeah.
And also, welcome to Tanya. Ooh, you have a cool spelling name, too.
Is that how you say it? I wasn't sure.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Tanya.
All right.
If we're wrong, Tanya, let us know, and we'll re-invite you next week.
I thought, I was like, is it Tanya? Is it Tanja? I don't know.
It's definitely Tanya.
I like the J.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a cool, really cool spelling.
It is.
Well, they
Sexy
are...
Sexy Tanya.
They are not American. That's why I'm assuming the J is a...
Is a Y?
Is a Y, yeah.
Let us know.
Oh, Y noise, obviously. Well, thank you, Tanya. Thank you, everybody else. Sexy Lexi. thank you, Celeste. Thank you, Sammy. Thank you, Melissa. And thank you, Jenna.
Also, for the record, you're all sexy in my book. So
you're all so sexy. Unless you don't want to be called sexy, then you're just neutral. But thank you so much for joining our Patreon. If you guys want to join our Patreon, make sure you do that on dtkpod.com/support. You can see our serial killer series on there. We are just wrapping up our series about The Staircase, which has been very interesting.
It has.
You can also get our shot of Kool-Aid on there. If you're only looking to spend $2 a month, you can get our shot of Kool-Aid every single month, which is an extra banter episode, basically. You can also find our bonus episodes, our videos, and all sorts of good stuff on there. You can also find our merch at dtkpod/support. And if you want to leave us a 5-star review because you love us so much, you can do that wherever you listen to our podcast. Please leave us a 5-star review. It makes a huge difference.
I'm just going to take like 30 seconds.
Oh boy, I'm afraid. What happened?
Listen, I have been slaving away at my job, my day job, that I don't love. It's not my favorite thing in the world to do. I love doing this podcast with my best friend, Cassidy.
That's
me. So leave us those 5-star reviews. Spread the word. Let me leave my day job. I'm pleading. I'm begging with you guys. Help me. Help a sister out. I love you.
I know it seems silly, but a 5-star review actually does mean that much to us. It's fucking amazing whether you leave it on Stitcher, Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to our podcast. It makes a huge difference. Also, if you just tell 2 friends about us, or maybe, I don't know, tweet out our link, put it on Facebook, put it on Instagram, put it in your story. We'll repost you.
I only beg you guys like once every 7 episodes.
No, yeah, you keep the...
I keep it down.
You keep the patheticness to a minimum, for sure.
Thank you for recognizing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you guys so much. You guys are the only reason we can do the podcast, and we really appreciate you. And we totally dig you.
We do.
Should we get started?
Oh, boy. I'm getting sweaty.
Are you getting sweaty? Are you nervous?
Always.
I'm going first.
Yes.
Shocker. And I wanted to say, like, it's category. My category today is...
The category is...
Yeah. I've been watching a lot of Jeopardy, actually, recently. So that's probably why. My category today is bizarre heists.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So my sources today were Time Magazine, City of Sam Gabriel, OD.com, TheWorld.org, and Wikipedia.
Perfect.
Ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. So I have like a couple different stories.
Oh, mine is kind of like that.
Oh, fun.
Like a category, sort of.
Yeah. It was. So basically it was that thing where I know you've done this too, where you find like one story and you're like, this is so fun, but it's not long enough.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to like
fill it
up. You got
to piece it together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the first bit I'm going to talk about is the Czech Bridge.
Okay.
In 2012, on a clear day in a Slavkov in the Czech Republic, workers showed up to a 10-ton pedestrian bridge with a crane and began dismantling it. As their work went on, police in the area stopped by on routine patrol and asked them, like, hey, what are you doing? Like, we didn't know.
Can you say it in the language, please?
No. I actually thought about it.
I had you.
I'm not trying to get canceled right now for doing a shitty Czech impression. So the police showed up. They're like, hey, what's going on here? And the workers were like, oh, don't worry. Here's all of our paperwork. Like, check it out. We're actually taking down
Check it out.
That's pretty good. Check it out. And see that we are just taking down this part of the bridge to expand the bridge to have a bike path.
And so they're like, lying.
Well, we don't know that.
Oh, sorry. I'm just assuming.
So the police are like, oh, cool. Like, sounds good. Good luck, guys. And they have a big crane and they have all the official equipment and everything. So they continue on with their work. As the day went on, the crew was able to take apart the bridge and even grab 650 feet of track, like railway track.
Okay.
From a local railway depot.
This is pretty official sounding.
Yeah, right? Yeah. The men loaded up all the metal and they went on their way. And in the following days, the local police who patrol that area, they kind of realized, like, okay, this is weird. There's no ongoing construction to build said bike path. And they end up asking around and they start checking on the credentials of this construction. That's when they found out the permits had been faked.
What year was this?
2012.
Okay.
The men they encountered had not been construction workers, but thieves who were stealing the bridge.
Where did they get a crane?
They stole an entire bridge, Amanda.
And the crane. And the train tracks.
I actually don't know if they stole the crane or if they brought their own crane.
Why are
home.
They stealing the bridge? What do they need? What do they need it for?
Well, this is where it gets really interesting. During this time in the Czech Republic, metal theft was at its highest point and had become such a huge underground industry that it was called the quote-unquote metal rush.
Oh.
Like the gold rush. Which I'm sure you've heard of this. Like, people will break into houses under construction or buildings under construction. And they'll, like, steal the copper pipes or steal the metal, whatever, right? That's, like, a big thing.
I had never heard of that.
Oh, yeah. That's like, why they have, like, security guards at construction buildings.
Wow. What the fuck do you need that for?
Well, it's worth money if you scrap it.
Oh.
Yeah. So, according to Time magazine, lots of strange things were being scrapped at this time in the Czech Republic because there was a downturn in the economy. Unemployment was at an all-time high, and so a lot of people were going into a little more nefarious ways of making money. Time magazine quoted, quote, everything from road signs to church bells to storm drain covers were being scrapped.
I honestly love the idea of a group of men getting a crane and going through all this work to steal a bridge.
Right? And also just the idea of stealing a bridge. Hilarious.
Like, yeah, like what? How did you think you were going to get away with that?
They did.
I know.
Confidence is key, baby.
You're right. You're right.
In 2010, the damage from stealing metal and other metal products from construction sites and stuff like that exceeded $1.3 million, which was up from 2009, where it was about $1.1 million.
Wow.
So this is like a huge underground industry in the Czech Republic. It is also in a lot of other countries, so don't act like it's just the Czech Republic, but that's just the stats from this country. So I know what you might be wondering. How much money did the thieves make from stealing an entire bridge?
Yes.
Okay, I want you to guess.
Oh, God. You know I'm bad at this.
My favorite game.
I'm literally so bad at this. Okay. Oh, God. They stole a whole bridge.
A whole bridge.
Oh, my God. I'm sweating. $900,000.
According to experts who estimated how much metal they were actually able to scrap from this bridge, the men made approximately $6,300.
See, you always make me guess really high.
Okay, because that's shocking. That's like the most shocking part of the story. They only made $6,000.
You stole a whole bridge for $6,000?
It only took them a day, though. Like, that's pretty good. A day's worth of work and you get $6,000.
No, that is good. But, like, how much did you buy the crane for? Like, there's so many questions.
That's true. Did Bob own the crane?
How many men are there? How are you splitting the profits?
That's also very true.
Like, I have so many questions.
Is there a kingpin you have to pay it up to?
Yeah. How did you get the paperwork? Who did that? Did they get more money? Does the crane operator get more money? I just.
That's a union gig.
Oh my God, I need to know.
So according to the local authorities, they quote unquote had suspects in mind, and this bridge was stolen by known men. But as far as I could find, no one was ever arrested for it.
The police met them.
Yeah.
Spoke to them.
Yeah.
And they couldn't figure it out?
No.
Oh my God. This is the Zodiac Killer all over again.
But way more fun.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, way less sad, tell you that much.
Listen, I kind of appreciate them. They scammed some cops.
No, I'm happy for them.
I'm a little sad for the pedestrians who use that bridge. That would be the only annoying thing.
What did they do with the train tracks?
So they actually said that to replace the bridge, it was going to cost like $100 million.
That's what I'm saying. How did they only make $6,000?
I know. Well, to me, I'm like, well, how inefficient is every government in the world where it's going to cost you that much to replace the bridge?
$100 million?
And they only got 6,300 from it.
That's pathetic.
I know.
What the fuck?
To me, it's just shining a light on how much we overpay for government things like that.
I literally would just be like, good for them. Let them keep the bridge.
Honestly, imagine if they didn't even sell it. They just like really wanted a bridge in their hometown.
They put the bridge literally somewhere else.
Back together. Like, yeah. They're like, my wife really wants to walk across this.
Yeah.
This small river.
Maybe it's in their backyard.
Is it a big ass bridge?
You don't know. How big is this bridge? I don't even like.
My kids were asking for a treehouse, and instead I stole them a bridge.
I gotta be honest with you. I don't know what kind of a bridge this is, because I was picturing a very small bridge.
So it's not over like a stream, it's over like a real river.
Oh, okay. So we're talking like a big one.
Yeah, it's like 700 feet across, 650 feet across.
I'm thinking like one of those pebble.
No.
Okay.
It had like railing, it's made for people to walk across it. It's not like one of those weird bridges where you do, like, the shaky thing, you know? Yeah. Those ones that you do at summer camp, you're like, whoa! It's not like that.
Like, are we talking the length of the Golden Gate Bridge?
No, way, way smaller than that. The Golden Gate Bridge is pretty big.
I am not a bridge expert, Cassidy.
Hey, Siri. How far across is the Golden Gate Bridge?
Golden Gate Bridge is about 410 miles away by car.
That's not helpful.
400 miles away from where we're located right now.
Where we currently are. Golden Gate Bridge length.
Thanks a lot, Siri.
This is a good question. Oh, holy shit. The Golden Gate Bridge is 1.7 miles long.
Oh, that's long.
So that's 8,000 feet. This one was 650.
Oh, wow. Big difference.
So way smaller, big obviously. Diff. But the Golden Gate Bridge is very big.
Well, listen. I'm not, like I said, I am no bridge expert. I know that comes as a shock to you.
What do they call those guys? Bridgetarians.
Bridgerton?
Bridgertons. I was going to say maybe. What do they call those guys who make things?
Inventors?
No, but that's funny. No, those guys who like make stuff and they're like architects.
Ah.
I wasn't even thinking of architect. That wasn't the right word. You know those guys who use math. Someone is screaming at home right now. You know those guys.
Those
who
guys
use math.
That use math.
Like, oh, I'm gonna go to school and be one of these guys. I do math.
Oh, like everyone in my husband's family.
Well, not like them. They're what do they do? What do they do?
Like a CPA?
No, very different. people who do math to make things.
What?
To make things. Okay, Google is not as helpful as I thought it would be. Engineer! Engineer! Engineer!
Wow.
Like an engineer.
Yes. Well, I totally don't even know what we're talking about anymore.
Oh my God, I don't know either.
That took so long to figure out.
I'm so sorry.
Engineer.
That was half my story. Just figuring out the word engineer. Anyway, I'm not an engineer. You're not an engineer. But we are engineer.
Vegetarians.
Oh. Well, let's move on to the next one.
Yeah,
well,
let's do that.
This one's even more fun.
Oh, great.
We're going to be chatting about briefly the 300 million yen incident.
Tell me about it.
In 1968, in Tokyo, Japan, a small branch of a local bank began to receive bomb threats. These bomb threats were not only against the bank, like the building itself, but also against the manager of the bank. The threats increased in intensity and frequency for weeks leading up to a certain date where the attack was supposed to take place.
Are they getting faxed or calls?
It's 1968.
Okay.
I'm assuming it's a combination of calls and letters.
Got it.
It's my guess. So during this time, as they're getting like more and more bomb threats, the security of the bank is obviously severely heightened. They also send security over to the manager's home because his private home is being threatened at this point. And throughout this entire time, the security is increased exponentially and also sustained until the looming date that's upcoming. But when the date arrives, no bombs. Blue bombs.
What?
Oh, I was trying to make a blue balls joke.
I knew that's what you're trying to do.
Then why'd you say what and make me feel bad?
Because I wanted to embarrass you.
Damn it. But later that same week, on December 10th, 1968, four bank employees were transferring just under 300 million yen to a local factory where that cash was about to be used as a yearly bonus for the factory workers. So they have like a ton of money. They're bringing it over. They're like, you know, we have four of us in the truck or whatever. Mm-hmm. Fuck ton of money in the back. And we're going to drop this money off. When they were about 200 yards from their destination, a police officer on a motorcycle rushes in front of the truck, stops them, and gets off and starts yelling at them. When they roll down the windows, he explains that the manager's house had in fact been bombed.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Like, a few days after, obviously, it was said to happen. So they were like, oh, it must have been a
false threat. So they're like, you better get the fuck out of here.
And because this bomb threat finally came to fruition, the employees were like, oh, shit. Like, we've been waiting for this. We thought we were finally clear. And the police officer is like, listen, we have reason to believe that the car that you are currently in is the next target.
Oh, fuck.
So he's like, get the fuck out of there, bitches. Like, what are you doing?
Oh, they're all shocked shit.
And horrified. The police officer is explaining that, you know, this is the next target. There might be dynamite under the car because dynamite is what had been used to blow up the manager's house. And they're like, yes, this makes sense. We've been seeing these bomb threats for the last couple weeks. And so the four employees back away and the officer begins to circle the car looking for anything suspicious.
I know what's going to happen.
The officer ends up getting down on his hands and knees to check underneath the vehicle. And as soon as he puts his head down there, flames and smoke begin to shoot out from underneath the car.
Oh, that's not what I thought was going to happen.
Oh.
I was very confident and I'm wrong.
So the officer yells. He's like, the bomb is ignited. Run! And so they're all just fucking running. They're actually really close to a local prison. So it has these high walls like all around. And so they like are running, trying to get behind the walls of the prison if this is about to explode. And the officer rolls out from underneath the car. He jumps in the driver's seat and he takes off. And
oh, like, no, I'm right.
And they're like, oh, my God, he's like taking the car away because it's about to explode and he's going to save everyone's
lives.
He's
a hero.
Mm-hmm. But it turns out.
I'm right.
The fire and smoke stayed right there on the road because it had been caused by a flare.
Oh, my God.
He had set a flare under the car, which caused a bright light and smoke, making it seem like there was an explosion underneath the car.
What a fucking trickster.
Yeah.
The whole time you were telling that, I was like, the cop is not a real cop, and he's going to jump into the car.
And then you're like, wait, maybe not.
Yeah.
And then you're like, what? Wait.
You really pulled a fast one on me.
He pulled a fast one on everyone,
what
baby.
Is that called? A bait and switch?
Classic bait and switch. So the police investigation was extremely difficult because there was over 150 pieces of evidence left at the scene in a deliberate attempt to confuse the police.
Wow.
So they left like a bunch of random household items and like all sorts of weird shit around the scene, including the motorcycle, which was actually just a regular motorcycle that they had painted white.
Incredible.
Incredible work. Turns out that motorcycle had been stolen, and they ended up finding the car that was taken from the scene not far from the scene itself. It was abandoned and had been switched out. And then they actually found the car that it had been switched out into, which had also been abandoned a few miles away. And they had switched the car like four or five times into different abandoned or stolen cars.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, these people that come up with these elaborate schemes are geniuses.
I have to have respect. I can't lie. I have respect for them.
No, I do too.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can get away with that and you can form this kind of scheme, like, maybe you deserve what you're getting. I don't know.
Listen, if you're good at what you do, you deserve a payout. This is where it gets a little bummerific.
Oh, fuck.
Only 5 days after the incident, the main suspect, who was actually a 19-year-old man who was the son of a cop, was found dead from a cyanide capsule. And while his death was ruled a suicide, there was no evidence of any of the money or the crime found in his home.
What?
And the other suspects of the crime, so their names have not been released because they were never actually indicted for this, they actually were arrested on other charges, but none of them, there was no evidence ever found that any of them were actually involved in this crime.
Okay. So the 19-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Son of a cop.
Son of a cop. Son of a gun. was found dead by a cyanide capsule. And he is the main suspect, but we don't know if he actually was involved or not.
Yes, because when they searched his house after he was found dead, they didn't find any evidence of the money or any evidence of the crime in his home.
So that could be a whole nother crime that we have no idea what it is.
Yeah, like he could have been taken out because he knew what was going on or et cetera, et cetera. We don't know.
Wow.
The money was never recovered and the police dropped the investigation very famously in 1975 because the statute of limitations on the crime ran up. Mm-hmm. And they were like, we're not going to investigate this any further because
the time's up.
Time's up. And it was the largest robbery/heist in Japanese history.
Wow.
At least at that time. I'm sure it's been surpassed by now, but at the time it was a huge deal because that was so much money.
Yeah, that's a crazy one.
It was equivalent to almost $1 million US in the 1960s. So
oh, shit.
I can't even imagine how much it's worth today. So lastly, we're going to talk about my favorite one, which is the reason that I even got into this. The Man from Mars robberies.
I don't recall.
Okay. So this happened in L.A.
Okay.
It actually happened near Pasadena in the San Gabriel Valley.
Okay.
And there was a guy who was showing up to different places, supermarkets mostly. I don't know why in my head, because Trader Joe's didn't exist at the time, but I'm imagining a Trader
Joe's. Picturing Trader Joe's.
Okay. I don't know why, but I am.
Listen, we love Trader Joe's.
So he was showing up to different supermarkets and robbing them. And he was wearing a very intense outfit. So I'm going to show you the outfit.
What year is this?
This is in 1951.
Okay.
Which totally also fits, I feel like, the whole vibe. This is what he would show up dressed as.
Terrifying.
Do you want to describe it to our audience?
It's like a black suit with a helmet. I mean, am I getting this correct when I say it's almost like some type of a Nazi or soldier?
It has like a Nazi vibe. There's no Nazi symbolism. He has a lot of skulls and crossbones on his stuff. Like, you can see them on his chest and on
all
the head
black
of the helmet.
Goggles, gloves, like completely covered from head to toe. Very scary. With a big gun. Yeah, if he walked into anywhere I was at, I would fall to the ground and start crying.
Yeah. So he's just this guy who's wearing like an all black. It almost does. Nazi is the right way to describe it. He's not a Nazi, just spoiler alert. But he's wearing like an all black, and especially in the 1950s, like I'm sure even
let
more.
Let me paint more of a picture.
Yeah.
A stormtrooper that's all black.
Yes, that's very much what it's like. Because he has like this helmet on that has like a skull and crossbones on it. Here, let me pull up. He wears a gas mask.
Oh, that is a gas mask.
Yeah, he wears a gas mask, all black. He has a big, basically, shotgun with him.
And the bullet thing around his chest.
Around his chest, yeah. So he, for 6 months, is terrorizing local grocery stores in the San Gabriel Valley, which is like the Pasadena area of LA, if anyone is paying attention. He would use a 12-gauge shotgun and two 38 caliber revolvers that he would wear on his hip. He actually hit a couple of these markets more than one time, and his final market hit after he'd already been dubbed the man from Mars, because he literally looked like a spaceman, because you couldn't see an inch of skin. He would wear gloves, he would wear a helmet, led the gas mask.
I would call him the mad grocer.
Oh, that's so much better.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so much better.
Put me in charge of whoever's naming.
You should just be
people
in charge of it. Yeah. So the last time he robs a store was Boys Market on 120 East Valley Boulevard. And he goes over to, like, as they're closing. As they're closing, he goes over to the manager and, like, gets in the manager's office and is like, give me all of the money, like, from tonight's grocery sales or whatever. And he's like, oh, shit, yeah, of course. And he gets about $13,500, like, just a little over. And at this point, he's gotten over 50 grand, which is a lot for the time. And unfortunately for him, someone had seen him entering the store, and so they went over to a payphone and called, and they were like, oh, shit, the fucking man from Mars is at this grocery store.
Because everyone knows who he is.
Exactly. Yeah, he was, like, a media sensation because he had this, like, iconic look. I almost kind of want to be him for Halloween a little bit.
Don't.
Okay, you know what? You're right. So an officer, Harry Stone, and his partner, E.F. Nelson, arrive at the grocery store. They had luckily only been a block away when this call went out. So when they said all units available or whatever, they were like, boom, we're there. Like, see you in a sec. So they show up, they enter the store, they're kind of looking around, and they're like, what the fuck's going on? Like, all these people are scared and running out of the store, and they're like trying to figure it out. And as they walk in, they see the man from Mars step out from the manager's office with the big bag of cash. And this is where things get a little dicey. And you know me, I don't trust the police. So you can assume which...
You?
You can assume which story of the... or which version of the story I adhere to. But the man from Mars steps out, and the police officers point their guns at him and say, like, oh, put him up. That's what I assume they do in the 1950s. Put him up, sonny.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're going to get whacked. I don't know. Did cops say that?
I think, yeah.
And one version of the story is Wait,
can I ask a question before you go on?
Yes.
Did he ever harm anybody or he just...
No, he never killed anybody. Oh. He just was robbing.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we stand.
Yeah, we're okay.
Yeah, we're standing.
As long as he didn't kill anyone.
This money is all insured. It's fine. So one version of the story is that he tries to, like, lunge back into the manager's office and gets shot. And then the other version of the story is that he tried to pull one of his pistols at the cops and got shot. Either way, Officer Stone pulls out his gun and fires one shot with his own .38 caliber revolver and hits him in the left side of his head, which...
But he has a big helmet on.
I was going to say, to me, if you hit him in the side of his head, he probably was not pulling a gun on you and was instead running away. But whatever.
But he also had a big helmet on.
He did, but I don't know if he knows. Helmets are not great against bullets.
Then what are they for?
Fashion.
Oh, okay.
So he instantly fell to the ground, and the man from Mars died 2 hours later in the Los Angeles County General Hospital.
Who was he?
Sorry if you can hear my computer fan. Okay. So his name was Forrest Ray Coulson, and he was a petite little guy. He was blonde and had very fair skin. And the way Time Magazine describes him as was, his hands were soft and white. He wore gloves whenever possible. But for all this, he wanted to be a big hero and have lots of girls. At 16, he left school in Hollywood and joined the Marine Corps. He served six unrewarding years from 1941 to 1947. He saw no action and won no medals.
And no women.
So basically, this guy, like, wanted to be a big time. He wanted to be all cool and all this stuff. And the reason he got away with it for as long as he did is because in between these robberies, he would go back to Oklahoma City and stay with his mom. And then he would come back to California and commit these crimes. Wow. He also was an ex-police officer.
Oh, really?
Yes, and he had been fired because... He literally, like, was just such a shitty cop. They were like, bro, you can't do this. Like, you got to get out of here. And it fucked him up so bad that he was like, no, I'm going to be a cop. I'm going to be a star, baby. And so he would come back and be like, hey, do you think you guys could, like, give me a job as a cop again? And they would be like, no. And he would just, like, rob another grocery store.
Wow.
To, like, get it off his chest.
I mean, better than murdering people.
That's true. He did not kill anybody, as far as I know, at least. But yeah, he was like so convinced that he could get his job back as a police officer that he would come back every couple months, be like, hey, give me my job back. And they'd be like, no. And he would just go rob a store instead.
And be rich.
Yeah. He was like, I'm going to make my money one way or another.
Yeah. He needs a job.
And apparently his downfall was women. Like, he got fired from his job because he would on the job, like, hit on girls and, like, bring girls in his cop car and stuff.
Oh, Jesus. Was he, like, a creeper?
He was just short and had low self-esteem, I think.
Short king.
He was a short king.
You know what? I say let him be.
He had a really cool outfit when he was Robin.
Yeah.
It was not bad. He actually was not an ugly guy. Do you want to see him?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Oh, he's cute.
Yeah, he's pretty handsome.
Wow.
Yeah. So I understand why the ladies wanted him.
Yeah, I was going to say, they would want him without the money and the big time.
Well, I think he just had, like, a complex from being rejected and not... He thought he was going to be, like, a big star. It was, like, the Napoleon complex. That's what they call it, right? When, like, little guys have, like, a thing where they're like, I need to be the most important dude ever because I'm short.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So those are three of my favorite weird heists and robberies ever.
I love it.
Yeah.
Incredible work.
I just saw that picture of the man from Mars. We'll post this on Instagram,
obviously.
And you said,
I want to look like that.
Well, I saw it on, like, some weird LA page, and I was like, how have I never heard of this before? Like, this is such a crazy story, but it just is not in depth enough.
Yeah.
where I could make it a whole story. So I was I'm going to find a bunch of weird robbery stories.
There's too many really, really fun, weirdo, mysterious stories like that in this world that are just not long enough for us to tell. So we sometimes you have to do that.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, if I was being paid as an investigative journalist, I would love to
dive
into that story and, like, go interview people's family and friends and his family and his descendants and try and get pictures and stuff. But, like, at the end of the day, it's just not my job. Nobody pays me to do that.
And there's just not enough information.
Well, there might be. I would love if an investigative journalist would dive into this story. I am not bankrolled like that.
You're not the one.
And I have to pay my rent. So
that's right.
I only have a week to dive into these things.
Great job. Love that.
Thank you.
I want to steal a bridge now.
It's kind of what that's feel like. That's the funniest thing you could steal.
I think that's pretty funny.
There was actually, when I was looking all this up, there were these other people in Russia who stole a church and sold it, like, brick by brick. They went to, like, this really remote town in Russia, and they were like, it was like a, you know, ancient church, and they literally sold it brick by brick as, like,
yeah, I love that.
Hilarious. I like when people commit crimes that don't really hurt anyone.
I just say, if you can get away with that, like, you deserve to have the money.
We love a light fraud.
A light fraud?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not hurting anyone.
You didn't kill anyone. You didn't rape anyone. You didn't beat anyone up. Great. We love that. A little, what did you do besides give those people the best story they ever had in their life?
Take your money.
And run.
And go on to the next bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Find your next bridge.
That's right. Okay. So I'm going, I kind of have a little bit of a category as well, but it is in a specific area, so I'm not going to really delve into the category, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Because there's so much that we can talk about with this specific category. I'm only talking about two specific cases.
Okay. I'm sure I'll have lots to say.
You will. So I'm just going to talk about two specific instances of possible teleportation. So there's so much we could do and discuss with teleportation. I am only narrowing this down to two very small cases. So here we go. So my sources were an article on MexicoUnexplained.com by Robert Biddo, an article in Esquire magazine by Paulo Chua, an article in the Mexico Daily Post, an article on JustHistoryPosts.com, and Wikipedia.
I love it.
So obviously, really quick, we've talked a lot about time travel. We've talked a lot about traveling through alternate dimensions on this podcast, but not really so much about teleportation.
That's actually true. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like thinking about that. I was like, we really haven't discussed specifically teleportation.
Well, I immediately thought of that woman's tomb in England. And then I was like, wait, no, that's time travel.
That's time travel.
Which is different from teleportation.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And obviously, the biggest difference with teleportation versus time travel is that you're not traveling to, like, a different era, but you're just kind of traveling to a different location in the same time.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Also, as I was researching this, I did see something that I'm sure you know about, and I'm not smart enough to, like, really delve into it or anything, but I did see that scientists have been working on being able to teleport or figure out teleportation for many years now, and they actually successfully did teleport a photon to another area in space. I don't know anything about it. I am not smart, but I was like, oh, cool. They are figuring it out.
They did.
So one of the first stories that people love to talk about when it comes to teleportation is the story of the Spanish soldier. So in October of 1593, the governor of the Philippines, Gomez Perez Das Marinas, he had been assassinated while he was on a sailing expedition to capture new territory in the Maluku Islands in eastern Indonesia. So he was, like, heading to this island, and the Chinese crew that was on board his ship to help him out actually launched a mutiny and basically killed him.
Not great.
Not great. So immediately back at the governor's palace in Manila, the Spanish guards that were already, like, set in place to guard his palace, they were basically forced to work longer hours during that day because their governor had just been murdered, basically. And the whole colony is freaking out about this assassination. They're like, okay, we need you guys to just stay here. Don't move. We know you've been working long hours, but we need to figure out what's going to happen.
Okay.
And we don't know if there's going to be, like, an uprising at this palace.
Makes sense.
So one of the soldiers that was guarding the palace, he had been working long hours, and he started to get a little sleepy, naturally. And he dozed off. So he leaned up against this wall, and he just closed his eyes for a few seconds. But when he opened them, he didn't recognize his surroundings.
Okay.
So he began to look around, and he asked this guy that was just walking by, he's like, hey, where am I? Like, I don't recognize this place. And the man said he was in Plaza Mayor, which is located in Mexico City. So within only a couple of minutes of this soldier being very confused how he's in Mexico City, some guards that were in a different uniform than him grabbed him and began questioning who he was and what he was doing there. So he told them that he was a Spanish guard for the governor's palace in Manila. And this confused these guards because, you know, like I said, he was now in Mexico City. And this is over 8,000 miles away from the Philippines.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's very far.
Yes. So they're like, what the fuck are you doing here? Why are you in your guard attire? How did you get here? And he's like, I don't fucking know, bro. Like, I'm just here. So these guards did the only thing that they could think was right, and they threw him in jail. So the soldier continues to tell these guards, you know, he's like, I'm from Manila. I was guarding the governor's palace just last night. The governor was murdered last night. Like, he was assassinated. I don't know what you want me to do here. But this is the 1500s, and obviously there's no way to get information back.
Oh, they wouldn't have even known.
They wouldn't have known. They had no idea. So they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? There's literally no way that these people would know unless they get their information by, like, a boat, right? Like, telegram. Yeah.
Or that he would even know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the soldier stayed imprisoned in Mexico City until 2 months later when a ship arrives in Mexico from the Philippines. And this ship gives the news that the governor had been assassinated a few months prior. So now the Mexico City guards are like, okay.
Maybe on the same day your fucking weirdo showed up.
They're like, bro, you, how the fuck would you know that? How would you know the details of how he got killed, let alone knowing that he got killed because you were literally here in Mexico City the next morning?
Yeah.
Like, there's no way you would know this. And to further validate his story, one of the passengers on the ship from the Philippines recognized this soldier.
Stop.
And said, the last time I saw him was the day after the governor was killed.
Amanda.
So the soldier was set free, and he was allowed to travel back on that ship to the Philippines and continue his normal life.
How do you continue a normal life after that?
Good question.
Like, serious. I'm like, I don't know what I would do.
I don't either. Obviously, this story was written many different times throughout the years. In the 20th century, the soldier was given the name Gil Perez. So that is what he is currently. If you look up this story, everyone will say his name is Gil Perez, but nobody actually knows if that's his name or not, or if it was just written in the story. And because it was written so many times, obviously some people like to say this is just a folklore, but it's impossible to know if it's a folklore or if it's true, but it does make for a super fun teleportation story.
So this makes me think of Glitch in the Matrix.
Yes, same.
Okay, yeah.
I was thinking that too. I feel like a lot of, like, it kind of coincides a little bit, right?
Especially if it's, like, unintentional. The fact that he just, he, like, fell asleep and woke up somewhere else. To me, I'm like, okay, that's just a weird fucking glitch in the Matrix. Yeah. And how often do we write people off as crazy that this happens to?
But, like, it's the 1500s.
Oh, there's even more
zero
so.
Zero chance he would know that the governor of the Philippines was assassinated
yeah.
the day before.
Yeah.
Zero way. There's no news.
Know what it makes me think of?
What?
So I saw on Twitter, this person tweeted the day before the queen died.
No.
The queen will be declared dead on this date.
Shut up.
I'm not kidding. And it was before all the health issues came out, before all of that. Isn't that weird? And it was just some weird small account that, like, doesn't matter. Like,
Did they blow up? Is this a prophet?
Oh, yeah. Like, people are, like, retweeting it like crazy. But I was like, this is not even, like, a big account that was making a joke or something. Yeah. It's, like, some small account that had, like, 200 followers.
Wow.
Isn't that weird?
That's crazy.
But it's that kind of stuff that makes me think, like, oh, shit. And I get, like, whatever. Monkeys on a typewriter. Yeah. You know that, right?
No. I just said yeah for some reason. I'm like, yeah, monkeys on a typewriter.
You're like, I totally know what that means.
I do.
No, it's like if you put enough monkeys at a typewriter, eventually one of them will write Shakespeare, mm-hmm. just because probability, right? Yeah. So I get that. Don't get me wrong. But, like, there's parts of it where it kind of feels spooky, right? Yeah.
You want to hear something crazy? This does not have to do with teleportation, but just kind of like a...
Mine didn't really either.
Yeah, well, like a weird coincidence that happened to me this morning. So last night, my husband and I spent probably 2 hours watching K-pop music videos.
Okay, fair.
For literally 2 hours. And at one point, he's like, oh my God, let me show you. There's actually a really good female K-pop band called Blackpink.
Oh, I actually know that.
Okay, so we're watching their music videos, blah, 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 blah. I'm walking my dog this morning. And look at this license plate. I took a picture of it because I was like, this is so weird.
Because you've never heard of this band before.
I've never heard of this band before. And I see this license plate as I'm walking my dog.
Blackpink.
Yeah,
that's
what
weird.
The fuck? Like, that, I literally was like, that's a glitch in the matrix. What the fuck is happening?
I understand, like, causation versus correlation. Like, if you just heard of something, you're going to notice it more, whatever. But
that's weird.
But that is very weird.
Even, like, my husband was like, that's really weird.
Yeah, what are the chances?
Yeah. I mean, I think that was a glitch in the matrix, just saying.
I had black and pink
braces.
Braces, yeah. bands on your braces. Yeah. I had black and pink because I was so emo.
You're so cool.
I was just, like, really emo when I was 11.
Yeah. You were, like, really hip and really, like, in with the times.
I just loved Avril Lavigne so much.
She was the black and pink queen.
She was.
Okay, that brings me to my next story that has nothing to do with what I just talked about.
Part two, let's do it.
So in researching the Gil Perez story, I came across another possible teleportation case, and that is of Dr. Geraldo and Rafa Vidal.
I know this one.
You do?
And I love it.
It's very interesting. So this story was actually published in two different UFO magazines. One article was written by Derek Dempster, and one was written by Oscar Galindez.
Okay.
So this incident happened in May of 1968. Dr. Geraldo Vidal, who was a well-known attorney in Buenos Aires, Argentina, and his wife Rafa, had attended a family gathering in another city about 120 kilometers or 75 miles away from Buenos Aires where they lived.
Okay.
So they were at this family gathering, like,
far from their hometown.
Far from their home. They left this family event a little before midnight in their Peugeot 403, which is their car, and they decided to drive to a community called Maipú, which was another 150 kilometers south of where they were because they had more family over there in that community.
Okay. So
does that make sense?
Heading even further away from home.
Yes.
Okay.
So I don't know if they were just, like, road tripping it up to see some different family members or what they were doing, but that was what was happening.
If you're already halfway there, you might as well do it.
Might as well. So apparently there was another couple driving in front of the Vidals that was also headed to Maipú, and I think that they were friends of theirs, but I'm not totally sure. And they were also going to visit family members of their own. So this other couple, whose name has been kept anonymous, they reached Maipú, which I hope I'm saying that community correctly, with no issue. And the Vidals did not show up to their destination. And the people that were waiting for them started to get worried. Like, where the fuck are they? So this other couple, who I'm pretty sure was friends with the Vidals, they went back through the same route that they took, and they kind of retraced the steps to see, like, what could have happened to the Vidals during that time.
Yeah, why else would they do that?
Why I'm pretty sure that they were friends with them. So they're, like, driving this route. They could not figure out what could have possibly happened or where they could have gone. The Vidals, however, they were driving, and all of a sudden, they realized that they were no longer driving in familiar territory. Their surroundings had completely changed. So all Dr. Vidal and his wife Rafa remember is kind of driving through this, like, foggy area. And the next thing they know, they're surrounded by, like, mountains and greenery. And they're like, what the fuck happened?
Where are we?
So Dr. Vidal pulled the car over and he gets out. And when he looks at his car, he sees that there's, like, all these burn marks over his car, like someone scorched it with a blowtorch or something.
Okay.
He also noticed that the outside weather was very warm, and when they left their family's house, it was cold outside. Mm-hmm. The two of them also felt a little, like, discomfort in their necks. They felt a little groggy. They were like, I don't know, something feels off. So Dr. Vidal gets back in the car and they begin driving down this countryside until they realize that they are in the middle of Mexico.
Shut up.
Which is the same place as my first guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is over 4,000 miles away from Buenos Aires, Argentina.
And that's over like a whole massive expanse that you could not accidentally coast over.
Right. So they're like, okay, the only thing we can think of is let's drive into Mexico City because there's an Argentinian consulate there and we can speak to the officials from our own country and figure out what the fuck is going on.
I was going to say, do they even have passports?
I don't know.
Yeah.
So they get to the consulate, and while they're waiting to see, like, one of the main official men, whose name was Rafael Lopez Pellegrini, Dr. Vidal asks, he's like, hey, can I use the phone so I can call my friends back in Maipú and make sure that they're not too worried about us because we were supposed to be there. So Dr. Vidal gets in contact with his friend Martin Rapalini, and he's like, hey, me and Rafa are safe. We'll be back, you know, to Argentina as soon as we can. And at this point, he finds out that they had been missing for 48 hours.
Oh, shit.
And he has no idea what happened during that 2 days or any concept of time missing.
Is that how long it would take to drive?
No, I looked this up.
Okay.
So if they were driving from Argentina to Mexico City and they were driving without stopping 80 miles per hour, it would still take almost 3 days.
Oh, shit. So it still even wasn't enough time.
And that's 80 miles an hour without making one stop.
Okay.
It would take about 57 hours.
Okay. Damn. And obviously, you'd make stops. You'd have to pee or whatever.
And you wouldn't eat. The driving distance was 7,395 kilometers or 4,595 miles.
Damn.
Yeah. And they have no recollection of what happened in that 48 hours. So the government officials at the consulate asked the Vidals, they're like, hey, don't talk about this with anyone. Keep this, like, very hush-hush. We don't want anyone to know. Even though they had already spoken to their friend back in Argentina and told them the whole fucking story.
Yeah.
So the press in Argentina was writing about this already, like,
as they should.
Literally telling everyone. But the press in Mexico, nobody talked about it. Nothing was written about this. It was very under the radar.
Almost like their government knew.
Right.
Okay.
The consulate ended up taking the Vidal's car and sending it to the United States for research. And the Vidals never saw that car again or heard anything about it from that point on. But when they got sent back to Buenos Aires, they were met with a brand new Peugeot 403 that looked exactly like their old car, but they had no idea who gave them this new one. It was just waiting for them at the airport.
Okay.
A few months later, Rafa, she was, like, pretty traumatized from this whole experience, naturally.
Yeah,
like,
that
what the
sounds
fuck
horrifying.
Happened? She was put into a mental institution because she just could not, like, regain consciousness or who she was or what was happening.
Or maybe she was telling too many people.
Maybe.
That's what I think of immediately.
The following year, she died of cancer.
What do we always say? Whenever it's like aliens or something mm-hmm. weird, they always get cancer, they always, man.
And why is that? Radiation.
Radiation.
So a lot of people, like online sleuths and people that have looked into this case, believe that during the whole teleportation incident, she was obviously subjected to some like lethal amount of radiation, which ultimately gave her the cancer that killed her. Now, what I find weird, obviously, is that both of these cases that I talked about took place hundreds of years apart from each other, but both parties ended up in Mexico City.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
That's why I wanted to connect these two, because I was like, that's so weird. Like, what is it about Mexico City? And I know I did look it up, and Mexico is a huge hotspot for UFO sightings in particular.
Yeah.
And they do attract a lot of like weird paranormal stuff.
I was gonna say Mexico City is actually like extremely haunted.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, the Island of the Dolls is there.
Yep.
Right? So yeah. There's a lot of weird paranormal UFO stuff there. So I guess my question is, do we think these are cases of teleportation, or do we think this is a UFO extraterrestrial situation and they got blooped up and then put back somewhere else?
That's an interesting question. Because to me, when I think of teleportation, I think of something intentional.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're trying to travel.
What's that movie? Jumper? Looper?
Well, that's time travel.
Oh, okay.
But when I think of teleportation, I think of like, oh, you're trying to go from point A to point B.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And these people seem to just disappear and reappear,
mm-hmm.
which makes me think aliens.
Right.
And then, of course, the radiation thing. But I'm also thinking...
But why was the car scorched? And how did their car get with them?
Well, I'm also thinking, what if there's a teleportation experiment happening...
In these, like, Spanish countries?
Without their permission.
Yeah.
Is what I'm thinking.
Or I was even thinking, like... Maybe there's these, like, portals or vortexes, like, in different countries.
Oh, I'm so down with vortexes, yeah.
That teleport you, and specifically to Mexico.
That I could also see.
Yeah.
Like some sort of, like, portal that, like, an energy
mm-hmm.
thing that happens for God knows why, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, either way, it's...
Bonkers,
bonkers,
right?
Yeah, it's super bonkers.
Yeah, I thought this was just so cool, like the ties to the fact that these people both ended up in Mexico City.
Yeah, that makes it like way more fun.
Right.
Yeah, but
yeah.
Like even then I'm sure there's I don't know, man. But I do know that Mexico City is like a hotspot for this type of shit. So
I mean, Mexico
not...
in general is like a huge UFO paranormal hotspot.
Yeah, so I'm not like super surprised. I don't know. That's so good.
I just thought it was, like, such a bananas thing to...
No, it is. That's really fun. It's, like, making me think, you know?
Yeah.
Huh.
And I'm excited for more teleportation stories in the future.
Well, I've been wanting to visit Mexico City recently, so beam me up, Scotty.
Can I come?
It'd be way cheaper than a flight.
Can I come?
Yeah, of course.
Can we go to the Island of the Dolls?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why you're acting like you don't come on anything you want to with me.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. And yeah, you're right. If they just booped us, that would be way cheaper because I can't afford it. So
flights are expensive right now, man.
Come on, guys.
But I could get booped. That's fine.
Just real quick.
Really quick. Or like a quick boop. I think I could deal with that. All right. So we have a story from Joe.
Joe.
Today. And Joe says... A little story about the weirdness of the universe.
Oh, boy.
Seems accurate.
It does.
For today's story.
Yeah.
I was at a medieval market today, but got talking to two guys selling wood pendants with laser printed designs on them. Think everything between best mom in the world to the flower of life symbol, etc.
Where is this medieval market? Because I would like to go.
I want to go. Know what I actually have been dying to do? Go to medieval times.
Let's go.
I want to go so bad.
When do you want to go? Let's go. I'll book the reservation.
Book it and I'll show up.
Okay.
They said they were part of a group of people living on a community farm and financing their life through selling these pendants and other self-made stuff. My mind immediately went, cult.
Yeah.
Ours too. They were pretty nice and said that everything would be pay as you wish, so I picked out a pendant and asked the guys what it meant. After a short look, they handed it back, saying that they didn't know.
Oh, no.
At home, I hopped on Google and searched the words that are engraved on the thing, Alpha, Omega, Othos, and so forth. Well, let me tell you, I gasped when I Googled this, and it was revealed that this is a symbol standing for the Key of Solomon.
Oh, no. Get rid of it. Get rid of it now.
I am not kidding. So I will probably place this pendant no longer around my neck, but instead beside a big healing crystal and hope for the best. Joe.
Oh, my God.
Damn, Joe.
The fact that these people that were making these pendants didn't know that one was.
They said, I took a pic of it. I'll send it to you on Instagram.
Oh, my God, please.
Joe, send it.
Send it now.
I know this is probably old. Oh, not too old. Send it on Instagram.
Wait.
Joe, we need to
see
it.
Wait. I might have gotten it. How old was it?
May 15th, right before my birthday.
Because someone did send a pendant that they got of the Key of Solomon. I wonder.
Oh, it's probably them.
It's probably the same. There it is. You want to see it?
Yes. Oh, yep. That's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Incredible.
Joe, let us know if we can put that on Instagram, because we will.
We will. I'm screenshotting it.
Yeah, sorry again, guys, if this takes some time. We get a lot of these messages, but we love them. Please keep sending them.
Yeah, don't stop sending them.
Please just know that sometimes it takes a couple months or whatever to get to them. But thank you guys so much for sending in your stories. Thank you so much for supporting the podcast.
Cassidy is...
I am drunk.
Drunk. I don't think she can go on any longer. We made it, though.
I don't know how this happened.
We made it, baby.
How did I get drunk?
I don't know. Do I have to do your...
Oh, are you going to... Oh, I would actually like this. Go try.
Oh, my God.
Do my little thing.
Shit. I don't even know. Why am I nervous? If you guys want more content, if you want to join our Patreon, you want more merch, you want to leave us a review, go to dtkpod.com.
Killing it.
Anywhere you listen, leave us a review. We totally dig you. I love you. Goodbye. I gotta go.
But most importantly, make sure you keep that front door locked.
Make sure you keep your mind open.
And keep drinking the Kool-Aid. Hello, coming to you straight out of the closet. This is Cassidy.
Are you dying?
Yes, it's so hot. I thought I finally cooled down.
It's not even as hot, even remotely as hot.
Sorry, the ice is super cold. No, it's not even close. This is so much better. Last week, I thought I was going to genuinely die.
Me too.
Today, I'm just like, oh, I'm mildly uncomfortable.
My eyes were closing last week.
Oh, they absolutely were.
I know.
I didn't even know any babies lived here.
That baby is... Should we go out and save it?
Sydney.
Is it in your apartment? It sounds like it's in the living room.